Sound engineer turned me up nice and loud today. Because he knows I don't yell as much as Pastor, but I might yell a little bit today. In a good way. I love hearing you guys sing. That's really awesome to be up here and when we quiet down and you guys sing out. It's really a blessing. So I just want to pray one more time for the service, and then we're going to jump into what the Lord has to share with you today. Father God, we come to you just once more in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this time we've had together as a church body. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your word is true, and we just thank you for the work you're doing in this body. We trust you, Lord. We love you. We magnify you. We glorify you above all things. Just as Brian prayed, Lord, that you continue to have your way upon this service, the hearts of your children, that we may be used for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So I told, I said a lot of things, and I wrote down a lot of things, and then I crossed off a lot of things, and then I wrote down a lot more things. But here's the point, is I'm not afraid to come up here and talk anymore. And that is all the work of the Holy Spirit and the confidence that he's built up in me, not in me, but in him. Because two of the last three times that I shared from this pulpit, the Holy Spirit told me that I was going to be teaching before Jeff told me that I was going to be teaching. Praise the Lord is right. And Jeff doesn't like not being in the pulpit, and he wrestles with resting. And he doesn't sit still well. But also, the Lord had given him messages to share, but always when Jeff is sidelined, it's only because the Holy Spirit has something else to say. It doesn't mean those messages aren't going to come forth. I just said, it just means not yet. It just means not today. And that's what's just been so awesome about this experience for me, is I've been growing because time and time again, the Holy Spirit gives me just one more crumb and one more crumb that leads to the next one until I'm completely full. And I know when he asks me to do something for him, that he's going to do everything he says he's going to do. I just need to do what he's asking me to do. Which today is, that question is, how are you spending your last days? And I'm going to read a couple of long passages today. Just let the word speak and highlight a couple of things. So stay with me through some of these long passages. But it's going to be awesome. First one is Psalm 73. And I shared a bit of this, just one section of this, in a text message with somebody else privately this week, but then it's just kind of been building and building up over the week. And now we know why. Then when you get a whisper from the Holy Spirit that you're going to be sharing, this is the message that he's been building up to share. And I'm speaking for myself in Psalm 73. And I'll come, as I said, I'll come back around and revisit some of these passages. But starting in verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I came so close to the edge of the cliff, my feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such a painless life. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They aren't troubled like other people or plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace, and their clothing is woven of cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. Does God realize what's going on, they ask? Is the Most High even aware of what is happening? Look at these arrogant people, enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Was it for nothing that I kept my heart pure and kept myself from doing wrong? All I get is trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. What a difficult task it is. Then one day I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I thought about the destiny of the wicked. Truly you put them on a slippery path and sent them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant they are destroyed, swept away by terrors. Their present life is only a dream that is gone when they awake. When you arise, O Lord, you will make them vanish from this life. Then I realized how bitter I had become, how pained I had been by all I had seen. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You are holding my right hand. You will keep on guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health will fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. But those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Amen. Amen. And as I said, this has been kind of like my cycle of faith in the day in which we live. Because I live my own life, obviously, but like the trials and the heartache and our church family, our family members outside of this body. And I was sharing with Kathy a little bit last week, like I just get angry. And I had to acknowledge that envy and that bitterness, and the frustration of trying to understand. I've talked about that before, where I don't understand why do I work in an industry that's purposefully being collapsed. I don't understand why cancer exists. I don't understand how it's all gonna, you can see the pieces coming together, but I wrestle with those things, and I like to see how it all comes together. But then verse 17 was like, that's all I needed to hear. That brought instant peace and quiet to my mind, because we can enter in his sanctuary. One day I went into your sanctuary, O God. Jesus Christ tore the veil so that we could enter in and make our petitions known. We can enter into the sanctuary of the Lord, and it's there in hearing the word of God, in that communion, that he'll reveal himself to us and what we need to know, even if it's only that next crumb. And that's where some of the chastising comes in. Down in verse 21 and 22, then you just feel like a dum-dum. And you have to say, Lord, that was so foolish of me and so ignorant that I had those feelings of anger and frustration around, you know, the wicked who seem to be on easy street. Like, what the heck? I'm living for you, Lord, and I wake up every morning facing X, Y, Z. We can all fill in those blanks for ourselves. And then we see a certain lightness or carefree to those that are living in darkness. But the Lord, He took my, what is that? When James and John, so that's my first instinct. People turn away Jesus, and I call down fire from heaven to incinerate them. Okay? So the Lord is dealing with me on that, and in showing that makes me a senseless animal to the Lord. And this piece where we're supposed to be praying for mercy and that their eyes would be opened, because all the these and the they that we're talking about in the middle, how they were their pride and these people have everything that they want and they scoff, all of the these and the theys, this is as good as it gets for them. This is as good as it gets. Whereas for us, this is the only hell that we ever know. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Lord. Their present life is only a dream that is gone when they awake. See, when we awake and we come face to face with our Lord, we're entering into our rest. Yes. When those that don't know Him, that are on easy street now, or at least they think they are, when they awake and come face to face with the Lord, it is with His wrath. And they are entering into an eternity of terror. Yes. And that is what needs to be in the forefront of our mind when we see this Romans 1 world unfolding before our very eyes. Mm-hmm. We are to pray for them and to love them and to share with them. I'm getting ahead of myself. And tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. You see, that last line, and again, what Brian said, I have to open my mouth. And not only that, I was, it was just a mirage, like how easy their life is, because we had all been there. I've lived a life in darkness before I knew Jesus personally and before He did all those wonderful things that I'm gonna share with people. And the truth is, that's not easy. The Bible says that's actually our love for one another is what's gonna draw people's attention to us. And also, every example of hardship and pain and strife and frustration that we're going through, there's examples of that in His Word that Jesus has already experienced. He's been there. He's suffered it before us. And our suffering is to be as joy because He already conquered it all. And that is the yoke that we carry. That is the lightness that we carry, is Christ Jesus. And sharing that with people. So then, that transitioned into, okay, so in thinking back upon all those stories and how we can always turn to the Word of God of what are we supposed to do, and in these end times in which we live, what are we supposed to be doing with our days? And the Lord promises He's going to pour out His Spirit. So I want to go to Acts 2. And what was very awesome is many of the parallels between what's going on in the book of Acts and what's going on in our world today. And it was easy to draw those parallels. When I started doing this study and when the Lord showed me that what we are to be doing when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because in these times, these are also perilous times. Jesus has just been crucified. The apostles are locked up, waiting upon the Lord, waiting for his promises to come to fruition, just like they told him. They're mocked by the crowds of people, that same crowd that just crucified Jesus. So I want to pick it up in Acts 2, verse 14. And it says, "Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted." That could be the message right there. That leapt off the page. Peter stepped forward. In that situation, in our situation. "Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. Some of you are saying these people are drunk. It isn't true. It's much too early for that. People don't get drunk by 9 in the morning. No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day the Lord arrives. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing wonderful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But you followed God's prearranged plan. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and murdered him. However, God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, 'I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is filled with joy and my mouth shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will give me wonderful joy in your presence.'" Dear brothers and sisters, think about this. David wasn't referring to himself when he spoke these words I have quoted, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on David's throne as the Messiah. David was looking into the future and predicting the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that the Messiah would not be left among the dead and that his body would not rot in the grave. This prophecy was speaking of Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he sits on the throne of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out among us, upon us, just as you see and hear today. Verse 36. "So let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Now that's tough preaching. But look what happens in verse 37. Peter's words convicted them deeply. "And they said to him, and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this generation that has gone astray. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. We can relate a lot to what's going on here. And just as Peter was a witness to the risen Lord, we are a witness to the end days. Our eyes are open to what's going on around us. And when we connect the dots for the crowds, just as the dots were connected in Jesus' time of who Jesus was, don't you see what all of these events were? This is what that means. This is that. Just like Pastor says, this is that. We have to help connect the dots for them and share the truth with them in love, because we know the times in which we live. And what's so awesome is that our knowledge is increasing, which the Bible also tells us that the knowledge is increasing. But we don't have to be afraid of these days that we live in, because we know that these things have to come to pass. They're all part of that same plan that's being referenced here in Acts. And that God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen.
Amen.
That we may stand, because we are not children of the darkness that these days should overtake us. We are children of the light. Amen.
Amen.
And what's so awesome is, again, like, okay, how the Holy Spirit strung this whole thing together. He told me to ask Brian to share before the offering. Brian shared about getting to know the Lord. Holy Spirit, use me, cleanse me, fill me. This is what it's about. In the last days, the Lord said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh.
Amen.
That's us. And we are to open up our mouths, and as we grow in our understanding of the promises of God, we begin speaking our words, our conversations, our actions. They all come in alignment with this word of God and with these promises that now we have an understanding of, because now we have a confidence to live it. And now people will be looking at us with envy, because they're going to say, how are you so lighthearted and how are you so joyful, when they know what you have going on in your life, or they know what's going on around you or in the world around us. And this truth and these promises is not just for escaping the coming terrors upon this world. Though we will be shown a way of escape when we're caught up with him in the clouds, but we can have victory in it. It's not just turn and run behind the bush to find a way of escape. It's that we can walk in victory through the times in which we live. And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit that is residing within each and every one of us. All of us. And what else do I want to share? Gosh, that yes, that is That's precisely why we're still here. So when it comes back to my understanding, okay, first of all, it's not about me. And secondly, I am here because we, like Peter, are to step forward and shout and be an ambassador for our Lord. He's our risen Lord, and he's the returning King. Yes. Right? Yes. And we can rest in that. There's power in that. There's freedom in that. There's victory in that. And that is what we are to be doing in these last days. Nobody knows if the last days are 10 minutes, 10 days, or 10 years, but we are to be about our Father's business. And what's so cool in Matthew 24, I didn't know I was going to share this, but what is it? Verse 45, gosh, when Jesus asks, who is a faithful, sensible servant to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his household and feeding his family? Is that you? That's the story of he's, you know, hiding the talents. And what do you do when the master leaves the house? And when he returns, what is he going to find? Are we faithful, sensible servants? We are if we're walking in our newness of life every single day and leading or walking by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Also in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. 14 through 24. I'm bringing it in for a landing here. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And be patient with everyone. Again, that's talking directly to me when I want to rain down fire from heaven to incinerate people, that I am to be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful. Keep on praying. We are a praying church. We are to continue praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. That's the other one that steps on my toes. We are to step forward and shout and trust that the Holy Spirit residing in us, the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, the same one that was hovering over the earth before the Lord breathed it into existence, is residing inside of you. He has the power to show you what is in front of you and what is around you. You don't have to orchestrate anything. You don't have to remember anything. You don't have to hide post-it notes with scriptures with your loved ones, unless you're led to do that. But my point is, he'll take care of it. Our responsibility is to surrender and be a vessel of use for that, for the Holy Spirit working through us, and to not stifle and muzzle our mouths. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God who calls you is faithful. He will do this. And it seems obvious, but again, it's not an if. It's a when Jesus comes again, and that God is faithful who calls you, that he will do it. He will do it. You just have to step forward and open your mouth. Exactly. For his glory. Amen. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for the evidence of your moving. It is evident, Lord, that you are moving upon this church body. You're moving in our lives. You're moving in the chess pieces of this world, Lord. And we know that we have nothing to fear because you told us exactly how it's all going to unfold for just that reason, Lord, so that we wouldn't fear, but that we could be ambassadors for your kingdom, Lord. Pure and worthy servants, Lord, doing your will on this earth, pointing people to Jesus. That if we can find just one more, Lord, just gather one more into the fold before your wrath is poured out upon this world. Father God, I ask that you would just touch our hearts. Give us a boldness, a confidence, mercy, Lord, for those who are living in a dream. And they are going to wake up to the reality of your wrath, Lord. That we would be that opportunity. We would be that opportunity in their lives that they would come to know you personally, Lord Jesus, and have an understanding of who you are, why you came, what you did for them, and that you are returning again to gather up your bride, and that you are going to make all things new when the time is right. Lord, you see our hearts. I ask that you would shine a light upon any darkness, Lord. Any peace that we're hiding from you, any peace that we don't want to acknowledge, that right now we lay it before you. We lay it before the cross. You died for it, Lord, that we would have no shame before you and be made clean, just as your word promised by the washing of your blood. We lay it all under your blood, Lord Jesus. We ask that we are equipped, Lord, with a holy boldness, with spiritual armor, Lord, that has no gaps, no chinks, that we may see and quench the fiery darts of our enemy. We know, Lord, that we're under attack only because his time is growing short. And there may be, we know also that there's going to be a pouring out of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we surrender to you in the name of Jesus that we would empty our lives of ourselves and be filled to overflowing with you, Lord. Yes. That you and you alone are what people see in us. And that we may be a light to them, pointing to you. Your victories, Lord, all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah. Yes, thank you, everybody. And we have... another treat for you next week, actually, is Holy Spirit is also moving upon Brother Marcos. He is going to be sharing from the pulpit next week because Jeff and I are both away. So come on out, support what's going on here because it's awesome. And yes, thank you so much. I'm glad you guys were here today. Thank you. Praise the Lord.